So, Philippians 3:12, Paul says, I was grabbed hold of by the Lord, and because of that, I've grabbed hold of him. Galatians 4, verse 9, now that you've come to know God, or rather you are known by God. The idea is, in both those passages, that the initiative in taking hold of us was not of ourselves. He moved first, and we responded. Philippians 3:12, I grabbed hold of him because he grabbed hold of me. Galatians 4, it's not so much that we knew God or came to know God, but rather that we were known by God. And so this rather attacks the myth that there I was, reading my Bible, trying my best to be a good guy, trying my best to understand intellectually this passage and that passage. And I put all this truth together, and there you are, I found God. Now, that is unfortunately the path that's been suggested by a lot of small-time Protestant groups who pride themselves on their pure doctrine, that I worked it all out, and then, okay, I found God. But this implies that sort of God is hiding behind the Bible, that the Bible is a riddle to be solved, and the smart will figure it out and will find him. Well, for one thing, most of the people with whom God has had relationship over the centuries were probably illiterate, so they didn't have the apparatus, as it were, to study the scriptures in the way that you and I can, with concordances and looking up Hebrew and Greek meanings and so forth. And it is all rather works-based, whereas the whole idea is that God took the initiative. He was the prime mover. Just as he was in the natural creation, so he is in the spiritual creation, that God spoke and it came about. And in that sense, man has nothing to boast of. And particularly those of us like myself who were raised in families that believed, we of all people should be the very last to be saying that I came to know God by my study and therefore I found him. He took the initiative. This is what I want to stress. When Paul is talking Romans 1-8 about grace and how we are saved by grace and not by works, he sort of exemplifies what he's saying by talking about Israel in Romans 9-11. That section about Israel is to exemplify what he's been saying before. And his emphasis there is that God called Israel, that before they had had a chance, in the case of Jacob and Esau, to prove anything, God chose. And what the AV calls election, God's choice, is really the parade example, really, of grace. And God has built that into his system, I would say, in order to remind us that it is by grace alone. Now, the fact is we have been called. Anyone who's heard the invitation to the kingdom has been called. If I invite you to my house tomorrow night at 6 o'clock to drink coffee with me or whatever, you cannot say you didn't hear the invitation. I invited you, so you've been called. Don't play around and say, oh, I didn't hear you, I didn't get what you're saying. You heard me. I just invited you, so you called. And so it is with the gospel. We cannot say we weren't called. We were called by his grace. And we have to respond to that rather than trying to make petty, quasi sort of intellectual excuses that are, well, what about those who are not called? Well, whatever, you have been called. And I want to connect this with what Job has to say about wisdom in Job 28. He talks about mining. He says, iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted out of the ore. And he goes on in Job 28:4 to talk about how man makes shafts to get down into the earth, far away from where people live, from the people walking above, don't realize that there's people, as it were, dangling on ropes, that's, I think, the image that he's using, searching around beneath them for special, wealthy, valuable metals. And then he concludes by saying, but where shall wisdom be found? And I think he's saying that the Almighty cannot be found out. That is the conclusion of Job 37:23. the section at the end of Job is really commenting on what Job and the friends have had to say. And some of the things that Job says are confirmed, some are not. And I think the statement that the Almighty cannot be found out is sort of confirming what Job has been saying. He talks about wisdom, that you can't find wisdom like a miner goes down into the earth to find precious metals, etc. And he cannot be found out by intellectual argument, but instead he finds out people and saves them by grace. And this is the wonderful truth that Job came to realize, that through all my suffering, God has found me out. He has found me. Now, this is not to be anti-intellectual, nor is it to deprecate, in that sense, Bible study per se. Not at all. But when he says, for example, that man searches for what the AV calls stones of obscurity, in other words, little bits of nuggets of really precious metal that are sort of strung together, he's saying that, no, that's not quite what it's like. That's what man does when he goes under the earth to try to mine, but God finds you out. And I think when you look at a statement of faith, no matter what statement of faith you look at, it's got various theological points in it, which may all be true, and they are strung together. It's as if these stones of obscurity, these nuggets of knowledge, have all been strung together with the impression that there you are, I sign off on my statement of faith, there you are, I've got it, I've arrived somewhere. And Job's point in the end, and as I say, it's confirmed by God at the end in Job 37, is that you do not find wisdom like that. You may find true theology like that, but true theology is not going to save you per se. The day of judgment is not going to be a theology exam. And so the whole point of his struggle, of Job's struggle, is that theoretical knowledge and human wisdom are nothing compared to God's grace, his gift. And as Paul so rightly says, it's not so much our coming to know God as his knowing of us. So then God is in search of man. This is something that I keep coming back to in these little talks. God is in search of man. You know, I have found David, my servant. God was out there looking for David, and then he found him. Jeremiah is told, run around the city, go through all the squares, and see if you can find someone for me. God is searching. Again, you have the parables of the lost coin, lost sheep, etc. He takes the initiative. The things that were found, the lost coin, the lost sheep, are inanimate objects, but he was in search of them. And it just shows, again, his grace. Now, what I've said is not to deprecate the idea of studying the Bible and finding nuggets of truth, but I am saying that the essence is, in fact, not that. All that is true and is not to be knocked at all. But in the end, when it comes to our personal salvation, it is him finding us. And why is it that what I'm saying is difficult for some folks to accept? Well, it's because it sort of cuts away from underneath their feet, all as they see it, their perhaps decades of studying the scriptures. And I'm not knocking studying the scriptures. I wouldn't be doing my Bible study and publishing my stuff if I didn't think that studying the scriptures was kind of bunk or was a waste of time. Not at all. Absolutely not at all. If we love God, you want to know him. You want to draw closer to him. If God has spoken, well, I want to hear that and I want to understand it. And I want to make sure I got it right. Absolutely. But the nuggets of truth, these stones of obscurity that man gets out by his careful mining and following various seams through the earth, this is not of the essence. There is a strange little verse in that passage in Job 28, verse 6, where sapphires come from its rocks, it has dust of gold. But he goes on to say that there is something which is invisible to the naked eye, in verse 7. And that, in the end, at the end of Job 28, verse 28, that is experiencing God with a clear conscience. And that is a position that you're led to by God, rather than by you looking through endless rocks to try to find a sapphire, a nugget of truth. So I hope that that is helpful in putting some sort of perspective on the set of truths that you and I have, that they are true and they are not to be knocked down, nor to be, as I say, deprecated in any way. But the essence is his knowledge of us. There is, very sadly, a statement in the BASF, in the community that I was raised in, which actually states that you've got to deny that a man comes to believe through the Spirit of God. It's seen as that important to actually deny what I've just stated. And yet I'm suggesting that you know, from the scriptures that we've looked at, that it is in fact the case that God is in search of man, and that we do not by our own unaided intellectual strength and process come to know him, but more that he knows us. And that is the simple truth that an uneducated, illiterate person would quite easily rejoice in. But for Western people, educated people, sitting behind computer screens these days, sitting behind screens on their phones or whatever, claiming to work this truth out and work that truth out and reject this and accept that, that's actually difficult for them to accept. Whereas for the simple and for the humble, it is axiomatic, it is obvious. And that's what I'm asking us to recognize, that he has by grace known us. And that is far more significant than our process of having come to know him.